Now we shall read the last two verses of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We all know the true application of the Lord's parable. He is speaking about our lives. And he was warning in his day of those who built their house upon the sand and cared not about eternity. He spoke to those who heard his words and took them to heart and obeyed them. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream did beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Whosoever cometh to me, he says, and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now that's the proper application of this parable to the hearers of the Lord Jesus. Hear my words, obey them, trust me, build your house, live your life, and it will be established upon a good foundation, and you will prosper for time and eternity. Do the opposite, and there will be disaster for all such lives. Now that's the proper and true application of the Savior's words. He wanted to speak directly to people to get them to listen to what he had to say. But I just want to build these two houses over again and interest you in a word that's in this parable. Now the first house that we read about in verse 48, was built upon a rock on a foundation and was well established. Good plans. That's fine. Along comes another man. He just goes down where it's sandy and easy to build. Levels it off like they do in Florida, just smooth it off with a bulldozer and put some cement down and build a house. That's all there is to it. Don't worry about a foundation. Don't worry about what's underneath at all. Just build it, sit it there. That's what they do. There's the two houses. This one over here, this one over here. Time goes by. 10 years. 10 years goes by. Same house over here. Same house over here. Both men are living their lives and their families. Everything goes on fine. Wonderful. 20 years. 20 years goes by. And those two houses are still sitting there. One over here. One over here. 30 years goes by. Yeah, 30 years. Raise their families. do their work, retire, all the things that we do in our little lives as we build them and they go along. One over here, one over here. What did I leave out in this parable that the Lord spoke about? What didn't I add that makes a difference in the parable? When the floods came. That's the difference. When the floods came. That's the difference. When the floods came. Well, that's my message, built on the word when. When the floods came, this house stood. It was founded upon a rock. Fine. When the floods came, this house collapsed. And how often in the past few months have we turned on the news and we see whole hillsides collapsing? We see houses tumbling over and bursting apart. We see whole towns buried in mud and houses. When the floods came, up until then, everybody just pursued their life as if everything was fine. But when the floods came, when? To my mind, that's the action word in this parable. When? Oh, that makes a difference in every one of our lives. When? Lots of whens in life, friend. Lots of whens. Young folks here tonight, you look forward to getting your driver's license, eh? Oh, when I get my license, I tell you, when I get my license. Yep. I remember when I got mine. That's a long time ago now. I had been working over at Cheryl's husband. What's his name? Michael. I had been working at Michael's great-grandfather's farm off and on in the summertime. And Mr. Brown let me drive the tractor and let me drive the car. And I used to go back in the fields and around. I learned to drive. Yeah. I'm just telling the kids this for fun. So I said to my dad one day, could I try my driver's license? Sure. He didn't think I knew the steering wheel from the spare wheel, you know. So we went over to Tilbury on a Saturday morning, and I walked in. Dad went to do some shopping. And the man jumped in the car with me. We drove around the block and came back to the same spot, and he gave me the license, and I had a driver's license. Yeah. When my dad came back to the car, he pretty near collapsed. He couldn't believe it, that I had a driver's license. Yeah. My, when I got my license. But listen, you young folks here tonight, if you're thinking about a driver's license, I'll tell you something from a wise old man. You be thankful for every test and every exam and everything, every course you have to take to learn to drive a car, an automobile. You be thankful for everyone. And I'm telling you the truth. Because it's a serious business nowadays to drive an automobile. And it's only the Lord's mercy that I didn't kill myself and a half a dozen others with my inexperience and lack of understanding and appreciation for what it means to get behind the wheel of an automobile. Now, there's good advice for you. You tuck it away in your mind. I'm telling you the truth. Absolutely. When? When I get married. Wow. That's a big one. That's a real big one. When? May the Lord bless you with the right partner in life. Wonderful thing to be married. Raise a family. It's just grand. It's fulfilling in one's life God's purpose in a marvelous way, in a practical way, in a way that can reflect the glory of God and honor Him in your life. When? When I get married. When? When? Lots of whens. There's a lot of whens in Luke. All kinds of whens. We'll talk about a few. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 12. Well, that's right close to where we are, isn't it? Yeah, Luke 7 and 12. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And everybody comes and talks to the mother and asks all about it and what in the world happened. Well, she said, we came to the corner there, you know, where we turned when we went on our way to the cemetery, and the Lord Jesus was coming right there. And when we turned the corner, right at the corner, he stopped the funeral procession. It says so, verse 12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city. Oh, wasn't it a corner? It was at the gate of the city. All right. The funeral procession was on the way out and he was on the way in. It didn't just so happen, did it, that they met there? You wouldn't dare say, that's just a wonderful coincidence that the Lord came along at that exact moment. Nothing doing. It was when he came to the gate of the city, you put when and the Lord together and you've got something going to happen. When he came to the city. The dear lady, she'd never stop talking about that marvelous thing that happened. When he. And down in verse 13, the next verse says, and when the Lord saw her. When the Lord saw her. When he saw her. He had compassion on her. When the Lord saw her. Wasn't that a wonderful moment for that family? Marvelous. Well, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 37, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. When she knew. She said, now is my opportunity. Now I can do what I want to do. Brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. When she knew. She acted on what she knew and did what she wanted to do to the Lord. When she knew. The most important when in her life was when she knew that he was in the house. Now, Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. 9 and 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Time was in the Lord's hands. It's still in the Lord's hands. But here he was on earth, and he knew when the time come that he would be received up. He knew about Calvary. He knew when the time was come. Can you just contemplate the Savior himself in his earthly journey? And he comes to a point on a day when he reminds himself, it's the time soon to be received up. When the time came to be received up. To me, that's marvelous. Now, we all know Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Okay. Chapter 15, the lost sheep, verse 5, and when he hath found it, amen, when he hath found it, the shepherd goes out to seek the lost sheep. It says, and when he hath found it, he puts it on his shoulders and he takes it home and he rejoices. When he hath found it. It's a nice day when the Savior finds a sinner. It was a lovely day when this shepherd found the sheep. Verse 9, the lost coin. The lady searches diligently for the lost coin. It's her living. Verse 9 says, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. When she hath found it, oh my, did you ever lose something? Spend a desperate time trying to find it. When you find it, my, what a relief. What a wonderful thing. Remember Mr. Shivas' story about the car keys? They were going somewhere from the cottage one afternoon. They wanted to end up at Chapman Valley for prayer meeting. Couldn't find his car keys. Oh, he couldn't find those keys. He hunted the cottage high and low, back and forth, in and out and up and down. No car keys. It was time to go. What are we going to do? So he thought, well, I'll go in the bedroom, pray about it. So he went in the bedroom, and he got down on his knees by the bed, and he threw his arms out on the bed, and under his hand was a lump, which was the car keys, of course. Yeah. When he found it, he was rejoicing. When? But look what he went through to find it. Look what we go through sometimes to find things, eh? That's why when's important. Absolutely, when. All right. Now then, the lost son in Luke 15, verse 14. And when he had spent all. Oh, yes, he was the big shot. Yes, he demanded his inheritance from his father. Very rude, very uncouth. The way he went about that. Anyhow, his father was generous and gave it to him. The way he went, as long as he was the big shot and had lots of money, everything was fine. But when he had spent all, when, the friends all vanished away, and he kind of got hungry. He kind of found himself in a proper situation. When he had spent all. Verse 17, when he came to himself. Oh, I tell you, that was a good day for that boy. That was a real good day. When he came to himself. When? He got down pretty low. He got feeding pigs and was so hungry he almost could take the corn and eat with them. When he came to himself. Thank God he did. When? That's why when's important. When is important for every soul to discover that they're a sinner in the sight of God and can't save themselves. When they do that, then God can deal with them. As long as we're independent and have our own resources, God can't do much with us. But when he came to himself. Luke 18:22, the rich young ruler. I like that young fella. Look over there, Luke 18. It seems so rude and so genuine. Verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich, and he went away. When he heard this, sell all you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me, you will have eternal life. My, what a promise. When he heard that, he went away sorrowful. When he heard that, my, that was the most vital when in that young man's life. I'm sure he never recovered from that at all. Never did find the Savior, not lightly. When he heard that. That's very solemn, you know, to think about. In Luke 19 and 41, we read about the Lord Jesus. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. When he was come near, he was on his way to Calvary. And in their ignorance, and in their unbelief, and in their rejection of him, it says, when he was come near to the city, he looked down over that beautiful city. When? His heart wept for the unbelief in the hearts of his own people. Now for a change of pace, I want to read a few scriptures. Some whens that we can't say when. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. When was that? Can you say? No. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. When was that? You don't know. I don't know. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When was that? You don't know, and I don't know. There are whens that you and I don't know and can't know. I can't know. I have a relative in Pennsylvania, and last summer she sent me a whole wad of stuff from some man in California who's predicting the end of the world in such and such a day. I won't even tell you what it is. And she's kind of all head up about that, wanted to know what I thought about it. Well, I read it through and threw it out, the whole bunch of it. The nerve of a man to try and work the dates back through the Bible and figure out creation and go ahead from that and add this to this and that to that and the other to the other and come up with a date when he's going to return. Can you imagine the nerve of a man? Listen, friend, God is God and you and I are creatures of his. And we cannot be gods. And we can't pretend to be gods. And when the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, I don't know when it was. I bow my head, that's all. He did, though. Psalm 90 in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. When was that? You don't know. And I don't know. That's God's business. We can't answer those whens. He knows. But we don't. Brother Glass's verses of last week. John 1, 1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When was that? you don't know, and I don't know. And we've got no business trying to find out either. That's God's business. He did that in the eternal ages. But who could go back to that and say, yes, it was here and it was there and it was this and it was that? Nobody. Nobody. This is God's business. There's no when there that you and I can fathom. Speaking of the Lord Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. When was that? There's depths in those verses that you and I can't put our toe in at all. We don't dare touch it. This is God. This is God. When? Oh my. The eternal ages. When? Now, Luke 23, a well-known verse, the most important when in the Bible and in the world's history. Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, when I wrote it down the way I'd like to say it so that I won't ball it all up. I believe that before Genesis 1 and 1, the plan of salvation to be brought to pass through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was an established fact. It was all known. It was all to come to pass. When? Calvary was a fixed place on a fixed date. I believe that the entire construction and continuance of the universe in which we dwell was tuned and timed to bring mankind to the very moment of Luke 23:33, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. When? Whose mind can grasp the unfolding of the continuance of time from Genesis 1:1 to Luke 23:33, which finds this motley crowd leading the Lord to Calvary? The chief priests, the scribes, and those that were out to get the Lord were counting it wonderful that things had worked out so well for them. They said before, not on the feast day. We won't take him on the feast day. The people get all stirred up. We better wait. But anyhow, it all worked around that they got him. They got the Lord. And they pushed the crowd to cry out before Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate finally bowed to their will, knuckled under. They laid the cross on the Lord and he couldn't bear it. And they got that man to come and help him bear his cross out to Calvary. What is it, the 10 steps or 10, 12 steps of the cross, they call it in Jerusalem? The Dolorosa, the way to the cross? Lord, the crowd, the people. And when? And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. When? Who can comprehend the movement of galaxies in breathtaking harmony throughout the universe that would contain in their midst on planet Earth the Son of Man approaching Calvary in fulfillment of the when of Luke 23:33, when they were come to the place? Can we possibly sense the breathless hush around the throne of God in heaven as those hosts look down upon the Creator, the Sustainer, coming to the place of His sacrifice? Centuries before, His own words were recorded in Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. He said that same night, that night before. If it be possible, remove this cup from me. If not, thy will be done. Thy will be done. All the ages, I believe, spun their time, turned their galaxies, age upon age, eon upon eon. And there wasn't a second out of place to were able to read when they were come to the place called Calvary. The most exact moment in God's reckoning forever and forever would be that moment when they took the Lord and crucified Him. Oh, our God is exact. It was all foreknown. You can read in 1 Peter lots of lovely verses about the foreknowledge of God, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Beforehand the sufferings of Christ. It was all laid out by God, and we must bow to the perfection of God's dealings with the children of men. And we must realize that when Christ died, it was for sinners like you and me, because He says so. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says through Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You don't save yourself, friend. The Lord Jesus saves you through His work at Calvary. And God only wants you to honor His Son by trusting Him. That's all. Take His word at face value and believe it. Rest on it. You'll be exactly saved at that exact moment that you trust the Savior. And you can say when you were saved. What else have I got? Not very much. There's some more whens even after Calvary. Verse 42, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's a nice one. That dear man on the cross beside the Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, the Lord said, today. Not when sometime. The Christadelphians turned around and they make you say it the opposite way. Well, I haven't got time to go into that, but they don't make it so that he says today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's the way the Bible reads. And Christadelphians turned around and say, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt be sometime, maybe, you know, after a while, see. Because they don't believe that going to heaven when you die. Absolutely not. Well, anyhow, Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. When? Today. Only the Lord can give straight answers like that. Okay. Verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Verse 47, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Anyone here like to be saved? I'm sure if I asked you, you'd say, yes, I would like to be saved. Okay, I ask you when. When would you like to be saved? See, that's crucial. The when is very important. Oh, I'd like to be saved, but not tonight. Not tonight. Mr. Shivers used to tell about a man up north there who came to gospel meetings for years and years and years and years and years and years, never got saved. So, at the end of this meeting, Mr. Shivers shook hands with him. He said, well, saved yet? No. Well, he said, give him a pat. He says, keep trying. So he walked out and got around the side of the hall and he said, keep trying. You don't get saved by trying. I've always heard that you just put your faith in Christ and he did the saving. Keep trying. What does he mean, keep trying? Sick and tired of trying. I've been trying for years. So, well, Lord, you trusted the Savior right there. Yeah. It spoke to him. So he went back in and told Mr. Shivers that he just got saved. He didn't try any longer. Yeah, right then, right there. See, it's when you come to an end of yourself, friend. When. There's a when in your life when you get saved. You can't put it off. You must come to it. You must take it. And you must bow to the claims of Christ and trust the Savior. Well, that's just a little more, sort of a message on the word when. Don't forget Luke 23 and 33, though. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, what a crowd that was. The dear Lord, you could hardly recognize him by that time. Hardly tell who he was. Mocked and taunted, jeered, spit on, struck at, kicked. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, when they were gone. My, oh my. And he was crucified. And he did cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You just think of the hosts of heaven looking down on that scene. Whatever they must have thought, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was passing through that. Whatever must have been the awesome silence of heaven in view of Calvary. And to hear that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ died for you, friend. He died for me. He is the Savior. The work is done. You rest on Him. When? Why not now? Why not this very minute? Jesus, I will trust Thee. Trust Thee with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like Thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. Father, we thank Thee for the Savior. We thank Thee for the winds in our life. Some are happy, some are sad. So we thank Thee for the time when we trusted the Savior and rested on His finished work. We thank Thee for the win of Calvary. When they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Oh God, the whole history of the world revolves around that moment in time when Christ died for our sins. We thank Thee for a living Savior, one to whom eternal praise shall flow. Help us nowadays to thank Him, to be happy with the Lord, to love Him, to live for His glory. To say, thank God, that was the night, that was the time, it was then that I trusted Him as my Savior. Bless our coming together as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.